It's 6 Eastern, 3 o'clock Pacific, coast to coast and around the world.
I'm not a doctor, but I have a PhD in recognizing bullshit when I hear it.
From the America Out Loud Talk Radio Studios.
The American people are not feeling very loved right now, though. They're not feeling heard by the Biden administration.
It's time for The Truth Be Told with Booker Scott.
Well, we have finally made it to the weekend. It is Friday night, and I want to thank you so much for being here. You are the best part of America Out Loud Talk Radio and AmericaOutLoud.news. We really thank you for being the best part of that. My name is Booker Scott, and this is The Truth Be Told. In this hour, we're going to start things off with the State of the Union and Joe Biden's State of the Union address last night. What did you think about that? What did you take away from it? Did it make you feel warm and fuzzy? Was it unifying? Was that what came out of that message last night? We'll get into that here in just a minute. This hour is brought to you by Gold Co. You can go to BookerLikesGold.com right now and see if it's for you. If you're thinking about diversifying your savings to save it for your future, you've worked so hard for it, go to BookerLikesGold.com and see if it is for you. So to last night and the State of the Union, my first impression as I started to watch it was, why are you yelling so much? He yelled over and over again, and I don't understand why he feels a need to yell. And I know that it was very important for the Democrats that Joe Biden look like he is younger. He is full of energy, and it was really important for them that he tried to pull that off. His problem is he's 81 years old. I'm 58. I don't do things as well now as I did at 48. And at 48, I couldn't do a lot of things like I could at 38. It's natural. It happens. But they try to hide that, and that bothers me, and it probably bothers you, too. You can't hide it. He's 81 years old. So they had hoped that this speech was going to look like he was young and full of energy and vigor. And I believe that's why one reason why he yells, but it sure does get annoying really, really fast as you're watching it. And I was annoyed by it. Another thing that I thought was funny, and probably the best part of the State of the Union address, was Mike Johnson sitting behind him. And I wish this time I had a video, because I prefer audio. I prefer to be on the radio. I don't want to do videos on Rumble or YouTube or anything like that. I could, but I don't want to. But in this case, with Mike Johnson, Speaker Mike Johnson's facial expressions behind Joe Biden, it would be awesome to show you that, but maybe you saw it and you're getting a chuckle out of that memory now, because his eyes were rolling and they were priceless. Speaker Mike Johnson. A lot of people wondered if he's going to mention Lake and Riley, and would he mention illegal immigration being a problem? And he didn't get into it. I didn't think he would really get into that at all. Like I said last night on the show, he was going to make the border the Republicans' problem, and that's what he tried to do. But we don't believe that. We know what has happened over the last 3 years, and we know why it has happened. The Democrats are hoping that the people that are not uber political, they're not like you, they don't listen to conservative talk radio, they are not on social media all day long looking at all the political things. So a lot of people tune in to the State of the Union that normally don't pay attention to anything. They are hoping that those people heard that it is the Republicans' fault what's happening at the border. The good thing about a State of the Union address, and I think you'll probably agree with me, is as much as made of it, in a couple of days, we're not really going to think much about this, and most Americans won't. The reality is inflation is up, costs are up, and we do have a border crisis. And I'm sure the fact checkers on the right side of things, conservative fact checkers who have very little voice when it comes down to it, it's really just a bunch of independent people on social media that will check what Joe Biden says against what reality is, because the mainstream media really isn't going to fact check him. I thought a comment about insulin was interesting, because Joe Biden did sign an executive order soon after he came into office in 2021 that reversed some of Donald Trump's price reductions on insulin. I don't know if you remember that, but he did. And again, I say this quite a bit, Joe Biden breaks things and then claims victory when he fixes them. And this was another one of those with insulin. Here he is, Joe Biden from the State of the Union.
We finally beat Big Pharma. Instead of paying $400 a month or thereabouts for insulin with diabetes, and it only costs 10 bucks to make, they only get paid 35 a month now and still make a healthy profit.
So that is one of those things that Joe Biden broke, and now he claims victory over fixing it, when in reality, he could have left that alone, sort of like the border. He could have left that alone, but he didn't. He signed executive orders and changed everything so that the border became wide open. Speaking of the border, Marjorie Taylor Greene heckled Joe Biden. I don't know what you think about Marjorie Taylor Greene. A lot of people love Marjorie Taylor Greene. Others don't, but that's fine. She heckled him last year, or was it the year before, during the State of the Union? It was either last year or the year before. She got after him again on this night. As you're listening to this, keep in mind that Marjorie Taylor Greene wore Say Lakin Riley's Name t-shirt. That's what she was wearing, with a red blazer on and a red Trump hat. That was her attire for this. So here's that exchange with Marjorie Taylor Greene and Joe Biden. She gets him off track.
I'd be a winner. Not really.
Okay, he's starting to lose it. You hear him. He's getting off the script, and that is dangerous when Joe Biden gets off script. That's why they don't want him to take questions.
Lincoln Riley.
Lincoln.
An innocent young woman who was killed by an illegal.
By a what?
That's right. But how many women who was killed by an illegal?
And what was her name? It was interesting. He's not saying Lakin Riley. He's saying Lincoln.
Lincoln Riley. An Lincoln. Innocent young woman who was killed by an illegal. That's right. But how many of the thousands of people being killed by illegals?
What was that? How many thousands of people are being killed by illegals? I don't even know what that meant. And I didn't know what a lot of what he was saying meant. To be honest, I don't know what he was talking about most of the time. Yet the Democrats thought it was wonderful.
All Americans deserve the freedom to be safe.
And that's true. We do deserve to be safe and secure. And this is when Joe Biden started talking about crime and how well he has done about bringing crime statistics down. And I went through some of this last night on the show, and it's not true if you compare it to 2019. If you compare it year over year, last year in a lot of major cities, it has come down. But that's because it had gone so high in 21 and 22. So there was only room for improvement, and it improves, and Joe Biden claims victory over it. So that's what he's doing here. But as you listen to this, you're going to hear him get heckled from somebody up in the upper deck. I don't know who this guy is. I'm not exactly sure what he's saying, but here's the rest of this.
And America is safer today than when I took office. Year before I took office, murder rates went up 30%. 30% they went up. The biggest increase in history. It was then, through my American Rescue Plan, which every American voted against, I might add.
Every American voted against. Every American. See, when anyone heckles him or when anyone asks him a question off the script, it gets really bad. That's why they want him in the basement, and that's why he won't debate Trump, and that's why he'll never take a question from the press. That's why. Because if you get him off script, he has no idea how to answer something or address something. And again, I don't know what that guy was saying in the upper deck, but just the fact that he was yelling at Joe Biden, Biden got off script, and you see how bad that got for Joe Biden right there. Of all the things he said in this address, I think this is one of the more telling things that he said. And I believe he was addressing the Supreme Court, who happened to be sitting right in front of him. And, well, I'm going to play it for you, because to me it sounds like he is threatening the Supreme Court of the United States.
And with all due respect, justices, women are not without electoral power. electoral or political power. You're about to realize just how much you rely on.
Again, I don't know what he is saying, but let me play that again just so you can hear it. He kind of starts that whisper thing
electoral
to...
Electoral or political power.
Listen, he's going
to
threaten
You're about to realize just how much you rely on.
You're about to realize how much, and then he just mumbles away.
I never could have imagined what my story would entail. To think about what the American dream can do across just one generation, in just one lifetime, it's truly breathtaking. But right now, the American dream has turned into a nightmare for so many families. The true, unvarnished state of our union begins and ends with this. Our families are hurting. Our country can do better. And you don't have to look any further than the crisis at our southern border to see it. President Biden inherited the most secure border of all time. But minutes after taking office, he suspended all deportations. He halted construction of the border wall. And he announced a plan to give amnesty to millions. We know that President Biden didn't just create this border crisis. He invited it with 94 executive actions in his first 100 days.
And there is some truth from Katie Britt. She is a freshman senator from the state of Alabama. She's 42 years old. After her address on the rebuttal to Joe Biden's address, she put out this on social media. To the American people, our future starts around kitchen tables, just like this, with moms and dads, as she has a picture of her husband and her two children, a daughter that appears to be about 13 or 14, and a son probably around 12 years old. Katie Britt, a little bit overdramatic, I think, on the rebuttal. I don't know what you think about that, but here's a little bit more from Katie Britt.
Mr. President, enough is enough. Innocent Americans are dying, and you only have yourself to blame. Fulfill your oath of office. Reverse your policies. End this crisis and stop the suffering.
Oh, yeah. And one more thing that Joe Biden said that really, I didn't realize this was in Joe Biden's history. I thought that he had been in the Senate for a very long time. I believe he was a professor of some sort. I don't think he ever taught anything at the University of Pennsylvania. He had a title, is what he had, but he never taught a class. But this was interesting to me. I did not know that he had taught for 12 years.
I taught the Second Amendment for 12 years. None of this violates the Second Amendment or vilifies responsible gun owners.
Well, that is interesting. Joe Biden taught the Second Amendment for 12 years. When did he fit that in? Exactly when was that? Was that before Bo Biden died in Afghanistan, or was that before he died in Iraq? Or when was that? When did Joe Biden teach 12 years on the Second Amendment? And when it was all said and done, it was time for the people on television to start telling you what you should think. And the pundits went to it. If you don't know this, Tucker Carlson was live on X on his platform, Tucker Carlson Network. And here was his response after it was over.
You know, you think of Joe Biden as a doddering old man, a guy who can't remember when his son died or when he served as vice president. And of course, that's exactly who he is, and it's on display every day. But Joe Biden is also a cruel and vicious demagogue, a man who has no problem at all denouncing his fellow Americans or putting his political opponents in prison, as he has done. And that was all on display tonight. That was possibly the darkest, most un-American speech ever given by an American president. In fact, it wasn't a speech. It was a rant, entirely lacking in decency or generosity to his fellow Americans.
Sean Hannity was live on Fox News after the address. It was pretty late, by the way, last night when that happened. He had a bunch of people on there, including Ted Cruz. He asked Ted Cruz about what he thought about Joe Biden's cognitive ability, what he thought. How did he look? Here is Ted Cruz.
Look, I think tonight was astonishing. I've never seen anything like it. It was a campaign speech, but it was an exceptionally bad campaign speech. Joe Biden was angry. He was bitter. He was screaming, as you noted, the entire night. He was radical and extreme, and he was completely out of touch with the American people. Frankly, tonight, Joe Biden reminded me like an angry old man standing on his porch screaming to the kids, "Get off my lawn!" That's who he was. I've been to 12 State of the Union addresses. I've never seen anything remotely like this. This was entirely focused on the November election. But what's remarkable, Sean, is Joe Biden and the Biden White House, they apparently made the decision, A, they want no Republican votes, because this told every Republican, go jump in a lake. We don't care about anything you believe in. They also decided, amazingly, they want no independent votes. They've decided their strategy for November is go hard left and turn out the radical left. And it was, you know, in State of the Unions, typically, whether you have a Democrat or Republican president who's giving the speech, there are a number of lines there that are designed to reach out to the other party, that get everyone standing. I got to say, this was a State of the Union, and in many ways, half the Republicans almost fell asleep, because after welcoming the president, where we stand and show respect for the office, we basically just sat there for over an hour as he told lie after lie after lie, and he just went hard left. I've never seen anything like this.
It sounds like Ted Cruz got out of it what I did. It wasn't a unifying speech at all. He was very angry. He was very mean and very mad. And I think that Ted Cruz's thoughts on what the Democrats are going to try to do in the election in November is very interesting. That they are going to go hard left and try to get their base to come out and support them. I don't know if they are giving up the independents. I don't read it that way yet, but it was very interesting. A couple of things happened as this was going on last night. Prior to the address, there was a protest that happened outside of the building, and I'll give you a little bit of noise from it. And you can hear that is the Hamas crew outside, and they are out there supporting Gaza and Hamas. They are the jihadists. No more money for Israel and support Palestine is what they were all about. It was going on all afternoon there in Washington, D.C. They even had to put up a fence. They put up a border wall. They did that again just this week to protect what was going to go on inside tonight. So it's interesting that walls do work. Again, don't they? We find that out when it is our politicians in America that want to be protected. If it's to keep illegal immigrants out, for some reason, walls don't work for the Democrats. But when they fear for their own life, they put walls up. They live in houses in gated communities. I thought that was interesting. One other thing that happened last night as this started, the State of the Union address, evidently, there was a hack, and hopefully we'll learn more about this, but it affected a lot of agencies, the United States agencies like DHS, Secret Service, are just a couple of those that were affected. So there will probably be more news coming out about that. You have to wonder, is it a country that was involved with that? Is it China? Is it Russia? Everybody always points to one of them every time someone hacks somebody in this country. Well, whatever you take away from the State of the Union address, one thing that we can agree on is the world is not like it used to be. And every time I think or say that, I feel like those old guys around the square in my old hometown of Murfreesboro, Tennessee, that would sit there and whittle all day because things aren't like they used to be. They would always say, but they really aren't. And I think it's more than just me getting older and appreciating things a little bit differently. Right now, it looks like the government's pushing for a digital dollar, which could mean every penny you spend could be tracked and controlled by the government. And if that's true, then your entire life could depend on people that you don't know, people you don't like, and people you don't trust. And that's why smart Americans are opting out and putting some of their savings into real gold and silver. To help you, you can go to BookerLikesGold.com to get a free 2024 gold IRA kit from my new partners at Goldco. It shows you how to protect your hard-earned money with physical gold and silver, even if it's still in a retirement account. And as an American citizen, you could get up to $10,000 in free silver just for safeguarding your savings. At the very least, arm yourself with knowledge about your options. Don't be a sheep. Go to BookerLikesGold.com now to get your free 2024 Gold IRA kit right now. Coming up next, we're going to have a conversation with the founder of the organization and the website, PatriotParent.org.
More Truth Be Told with Booker Scott in a minute on America Out Loud.
Cardiovascular disease is the leading cause of death and disability. Lifestyle changes are critical, but you can also support your heart with concentrated nutrients. Healthy Cell created Heart and Vascular Health to support cholesterol and blood pressure with CoQ10, vitamin K2, resveratrol, and soluble fiber. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow. Get heart healthy. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
You've all heard Dr. McCullough and others share over and over the value of keeping your sinuses cleansed. It's a smart move all year, but even more so when we're cooped up inside. It's not really open for debate any longer. Those that live smart and live well pay attention to nasal and oral hygiene. Cofix RX has just the tools for the job with our nasal and throat cleanse. Click the Cofix RX banner on AmericaOutloud.shop to get 20% off your entire order. That's right, AmericaOutloud.shop. Use coupon code OUTLOUD. That's coupon code OUTLOUD for 20% off your entire order.
Use Cofix RX because it works.
ASEA believes that inside each of us is the potential to feel our very best. Our redox-based products tap into reserves within you to power your personal well-being. Make our breakthrough products an essential step in fulfilling your greatest potential. ASEA, we power potential. For exclusive savings, use code OUTLOUD to save 15% off your first order today.
Every afternoon at 4 o'clock, you can hear attorney Tom Renz, and then that is followed up by Paul Engle, the Constitutional Study, right here on America Out Loud Talk Radio. Please download the app, and it's available in either one of the stores. And also, don't forget to go to AmericaOutloud.news. Find new podcasts and articles every day by great content creators like Dr. Peter McCullough, Dr. Harvey Risch, Dr. Paul Alexander. They're all there, and you can find them there at AmericaOutloud.news. My name is Booker Scott, and this is The Truth Be Told. And from time to time, I like to shine the light on someone that had an idea, just one person, because usually that's how these things work. One or two people get together, they have a conversation, and something grows out of it that can make a big difference in your community, your city, or maybe the country even. I'm going to bring into the conversation now Patriot Ann. Ann, welcome to the conversation.
Thank you, Booker. Thank you for having me.
And I want to have a conversation about what you did. You had an idea. You and I think one other person had a conversation, an idea, and from that became PatriotParents.org. Talk about the start of that, and then we'll just take the conversation wherever it goes from there.
All right. That sounds fair enough. I actually was born into a family that really enjoyed politics and kept a really strong watch on them.
I'm sorry. I had a mom. I'm so sorry that was your life. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but go ahead.
At the time, we were too, as kids. You know, you're rolling your eyes, going, "Oh my goodness!"
I've got one of those around here right now. So I understand.
You can relate. I had a mom that nowadays I think would be referred to as an activist. You know, we would drive past the Texaco sign and she'd see a red star and right away she'd talk about communism. And we, you know, she pulled us out of the public schools because she felt that they were indoctrinating us. And this was years ago, like decades ago, and put us into a school where it is now worldwide with its homeschooling and nationwide with its curriculum, Christian Liberty Academy. And when she put us in, we were in a church basement and I saw a huge change in what we were taught. We were taught politics in that we talked about loving our country, being conservative, and loving God first. And it just left a real mark on me. So, you know, you get busy, you get married, you have children, you have businesses, you're working, you're busy, and you kind of get away from the politics a little. My first president I voted for was President Reagan, and we all loved him and saw what he did. But, you know, you're not always on top of everything like you should be. So in 2018, I decided to start an account on Twitter. I wanted to support President Trump and just keep up on what was going on. And I thought, you know, this will be great. We'll connect with other patriots. And within a year, I had 120,000 followers. I had a nice voice and was able to have a lot of cool people following me who I really liked, true patriots. And I really enjoyed that voice. But in 2019, Trump retweeted me. He actually quote tweeted me and thanked me for a tweet that I did. And boy, all heck broke loose. And I thought, oh, this isn't good. You know, it's not good to get that kind of attention.
Yeah, I didn't ask for this, did I?
I know, exactly.
What you were thinking. Yeah,
exactly. It was. Most people thought it was great. I was panicking because, of course, it brings out all the trolls. So in 2020, I just knew, in 2020, I knew that the election was not going to go smoothly because, as we all know, he got in very much as a fluke, a very good fluke, but a fluke in 2016. And so in 2020, I just knew they weren't going to let him have this easily. And I knew our accounts would be in peril. I could see trolls coming out. We blocked more people on the account after he had retweeted us or quote tweeted us than we ever did. So with that thought, in the summer of August, it was, of 2020, I started thinking about, I really wanted to do a website. And I had become really good friends. You know, a lot of people do podcasts. A lot of people are very busy putting in their opinions, which is great, you know, especially people that want to stand up for truth. And I thought, you know, I'm not sure I want to get on a podcast or anything quite like that. I mean, we're retired. We're supposed to be enjoying life, kicking back and with our toes in the sand. And instead, I thought, you know, a website would be really great because I enjoy writing. And I had happened to become a really good friend with a really neat guy who is a legal immigrant from Israel. And in my past, I've noticed that the people who love our country, I don't want to say they love it the most, but they get the freedom the most. It's the legal immigrants. And so I asked, he's the tech guy, and I said, what would you think of this? And he thought that'd be great. Just to add in, and this is a whole different context, so I won't go into it in detail, but another thing that took me to this point of wanting to do, to get involved in this, was I wanted to write a book about how I saw our family who homeschooled our children. You know, back when we did it, it was not at all mainstream. A Christian family, we've been married forever. You know, we had a couple of kids here. And we thought, this will be great. We'll do it this way. And we saw our daughter get pulled into something, an organization, where she got really indoctrinated. And it was told to us that this organization was about empowering young women. And what we saw was anything but. And they'd really been going rough on some of these young women for 10 years, and nobody stood up and did a thing.
What year? When was that, Anne? Was that 2020?
No, that was going back 10 years before.
Okay.
So like I said, I'm not trying to digress, but what, in the back of my mind, the whole idea, I didn't get on Twitter for that reason, but the whole idea, I wanted to do a website besides having a voice, because I was worried about not having a voice anymore, you know, on Twitter. But the main reason, the underlying factor, was I saw our family get run through the mill for standing up to an organization. Everybody would know this organization. It is world famous. It's been around 100 years. And we saw what it did to our family. So indoctrination is not just in the schools, it's in organizations as well. So that together, that feeling, and I was working on a book at the time, and that feeling of what happened to us, together with knowing what Trump was going to go through, because we just knew it would not be handed back to him, even if he won legally this election in 2020, really spurred us on to start this website. So I asked this friend of mine that I'd become really good friends with, and he said, sure, let's do that. And Patriot Parents came about in that way. And we really wanted to make sure that we would inform and inspire and ignite people to want to get involved, to want to be a voice for faith, family, and freedom. So this is how Patriot Parents came about.
That's how it started, and it has grown and grown. You have a newsletter that comes out monthly, and yes. I want you to tell people how they can get that information, and then talk a little bit about the inspiration, what you're trying to do with it. You also have resources available, so people can go to patriotparents.org and find out more information about all types of things when it comes to your child, protecting your child, educating your child, and all of those things.
Sure. Well, anyone who wants to subscribe to our newsletter, we don't just put people in there. They have to subscribe. It's free. And you just go to our website, patriotparents.org, and hit subscribe. We never share the emails or farm them out or sell them or anything. We're very protective of people. And it's neat because we get a lot of feedback from people through our email in that manner. And so we know what people are interested in. But what we did, it was we started realizing a lot of people felt overwhelmed. Like I said, raising families, working, they don't get in on the real news of things. So our goal was to put out the news. When we do our newsletter, it's kind of our take on what's going on, just food for thought sort of a thing. We do an opening, which we call the rant, which sets the tone for the newsletter. And then we do blogs that will go into specific topics. And sometimes they're even more a little bit, I don't want to say psychology based, but day-to-day living based rather than just news, you know, but we like to provide, we have topics, we have resources for people. We have, you know, under resources, movies and documentaries and a Patriot library and a place that you can find things for kids. And we do a stay informed area where there's election integrity and election fraud and COVID-19, things like this. And we have words from the wise, which we have something from you on there, Booker. And yeah. we do put Save Your Republic. So what we like to do, we're not trying to promote ourselves. We're trying to really promote like-minded patriots who have the same worldview, not just in our country, but worldview as we do. And we see what's going on and we want them to have some recognition as well. So we like to work with other people who are trying to do what we are. We have a call to action where there's donations and prayers. We just met up with Roger Stone, had a fundraiser with him recently and put him in our newsletter and call to action to help him out. You know, this is for people who've gotten in trouble sometimes or just trying to do the right thing. Petitions and phone calls if there's something going on in the government people should know about. We promote heroes, people, everyday people we see as heroes like a Mike Lindell and Steve Friend, any whistleblowers that we feel have stood up to be truth tellers. We have a section with truth tellers where we put people that we really respect and like, Tucker, Matt Gaetz, Peter Schweizer, Brigitte Gabriel, people who are really out there saying the truth and not afraid to do so, because we all need that. And then recently, a couple of years back, we decided to do a candidates page and we vet everybody we put on there. And we have not just for Trump and for nationwide candidates, but also for people who are local, but we do go through all of them. Right now, we're really heavily supporting Brandon Gill, who's Dinesh D'Souza's son-in-law. He's just a wonderful young man. He stands for everything.
He just won Tuesday night.
Yes. And we're just so happy. He has, you know, of course, he has Trump's support, and we just want to see other really good America First Patriots get in. And if there's any way we can help, we do so. And of course, we have a little merchandise page, but that's mostly, you know, mugs, backpacks and things, T-shirts. We put Trump's mugshot in one on a T-shirt about retribution and decide that whatever we make from that goes back to his campaign. But we just like the idea of keeping people in under going back, not back in time in a negative way, but going back to the fundamentals of this country was built on. And we've gotten so far away from that. And the best way is through our children and our families. But we don't just say this is for parents, because there's many people down here where we are that are fighting for children. And some of them don't even have children of their own, and they're very effective. So this is what our goal is to get people together and make a difference and be truth tellers and let other people know what's going on so they can wake up and get on board with what we're trying to do here, which is elect the real next president of the United States, Donald J. Trump.
And you are listening to Patriot Ann. The website again is patriotparents.org. Go there and subscribe. It doesn't cost anything. It's free. And get the monthly newsletter and find out what they are up to. You mentioned homeschooling, and it really seems like homeschooling is growing in the country. And I did see some stats on that, but it's amazing how many people are now homeschooling. But it sounds like you did it a long time ago. What are you hearing from the homeschooling community?
Well, it's changed quite a bit. It's so mainstream now, and they have videos and DVDs, and they have online classrooms where people can get on there and do with other people, with other kids. And it's so changed. When we did it, it was so unpopular when we did it. And now it's, like I say, become very mainstream. Erica Donalds runs a homeschool group, and we put her on our, the information of her homeschool groups on our website to support her and what she's doing. But it's changed so much because when we did it, it was almost looked at as offensive to other people. Why don't you want your children with ours? Why do you think you're a better teacher? You're not a teacher. Why this? Why that?
There was a stigma. There was a stigma, wasn't there, with homeschooling?
Yes. Yes. And what we found was, unfortunately, I have to say, we were part of a couple homeschool groups where maybe once a week we got together and did teaching of each other's kids. And I kind of understand the stigma. And the reason I do is there are a lot of women there, and I will say women, men do homeschool too, but they really weren't teaching kids. They'd have a school day like, hey, let's learn about snow. Let's go have a snowball fight.
Yeah.
Well, no, you can't do that with your children because it's a serious deal. And so we fashioned a real schoolroom above our garage in our home, and we really did it the right way. We prayed every morning. We said, pledge allegiance to the flag, and they learned every bit of curriculum had a Christian base to it, and that's why we did it. And nowadays, it's so much more accepted, and you don't get that stigma anymore of, oh, your children won't fit in. Well, you know, as parents at this point, we should be glad for that, that we're raising children that are independently minded instead of just going along and being indoctrinated like sheep. So it's changed.
Yeah, it has. And we also see that Christian and Catholic schools, they are growing as well, which I think is a good sign. And you mentioned that you were homeschooled, and that was a long time ago. We're about the same age. Ann and I speak from time to time, so we know each other outside the world of social media and outside the world of either one of our organizations, which I can tell you, as she is speaking and talking about this website, there is also a misconception among so many people in the population that believe that if you have a website, you somehow are making money on it. And from my experience, and I think from Ann's as well, it is not a money-making proposition most of the time. In fact, it drains resources. And I know that's been my experience, and I know that it's yours too. But let's go back a few minutes ago in the conversation when you were talking about your mom pulling you out in homeschooling. I can say from my experience in public education, because I was thinking about this the other night, back in the fifth grade, I can remember to the fifth grade that we would actually read a scripture in public school every morning. We would do a Pledge of Allegiance and sort of have a conversation about the scripture that we just read in public school. And that would have been in the 1970s, mid-1970s. And wow, have things changed since then?
Yes. Yes. You would have been locked up for that now.
Yeah.
But no, I actually was not pulled out to be homeschooled. My mother did take us to a school.
Oh, that's right. You did say that. A Christian
school.
It's okay.
Yeah. We were good friends with Philip Crane, the congressman. Okay. And his daughter went to this school, and it was a very beginning school in a church basement. And it was very far from our home. So she drove us 25 miles there, and she drove back 25 and then drove to get us 25 and took us home. But there were seven people in my third grade class, if that gives you an idea. And I'm not talking about my classroom. I'm talking the whole third grade classroom.
Yeah.
And now it has turned into Christian Liberty Academy, which has worldwide homeschooling curriculum. And they have a huge campus, and they're really well known, and it's a wonderful school. But at the time, I don't think that she even understood or thought she could homeschool, but it was very close to homeschooling, and that basically we went to a little church every morning for school. And it was just so different and so neat and such a good experience. And we all knew each other well, and we were being taught about God and family and our country. And it made a difference. And I remember then, a couple years later, okay, because of its farness away and because things kind of changed in the family with a move or two that we did end up going back to public school. But I remember thinking for 4 years, I basically repeated everything that I'd already learned in those few years at Christian Liberty.
Yeah.
So I could see how slow and far behind that the public schools were, because they weren't focused on, I mean, every child is brilliant. Every kid is smart. No one's smarter than the other. They're all brilliant. It's what you feed them that they either grow on that or they get held back.
Amen. Yeah. It is patriotparents.org is that website. And thank you so much for joining the conversation.
It was my pleasure. Thank you so much, Booker.
When God, through his grace and mercy, gave us free will, the will of the people was to live freely. To that end, we fight for the liberty of all at a time when global tyranny threatens us as never before in mankind's history. This vision is manifest at AmericaOutloud.news, a site for all who cherish free will and freedom. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Take action today. Visit HealRight.com/outloud or AmericaOutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Millions of Americans are needlessly suffering from the long-haul effects of the toxic spike protein. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company designed their spike support formula to counteract harmful spike protein from COVID-19 and vaccines so you can feel your best. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order.
Everywhere we look, it seems like America has all sorts of problems. And one of the problems I think maybe that people don't want to talk about, they want to bury their head in the sand, is human trafficking. You bring up the words together and people just gloss over with a look. And unfortunately in this country, whether you call it human trafficking or the sex business, I've seen $35 billion. I've seen it's as much as $100 billion a year industry. I'm not sure, but either one of those numbers is astounding. And it really needs to have some attention. And that's what we're going to try to do here in this segment. As we welcome to the program, Sarah LaChance. She has an organization out of Tampa Bay, Florida, and it's called StopTheMovement.org. Sarah, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate you shining a light on this issue.
And you and I, we were able to go take a tour a few weeks ago, and right here in the Tampa Bay market, which, by the way, is a television market. It's about 4 million people, but it is an incredible problem we have. And I thought I knew something a little bit about this subject, but what I found out was I really know nothing about it, because the things that we saw were amazing. And I want to get into that, but I also want to ask you, you start StopTheMovement.org. What was your motivation? What was that event that happened in your life that said, I'm going to do something?
That's a great question. This has been a calling on my family's life for many years. I worked at the LA Dream Center in downtown Los Angeles about 10 years ago. I spent some time there on the human trafficking unit, and I was in the exact same spot as you were. I was shocked to discover what I thought I knew about the issue, and I was completely wrong. And I was shocked to find out that human trafficking affects men, women, and kids of all ages. And I have unfortunately worked with a variety of them over the years. When I moved back to Florida, I was passionate about finding a place to serve and did research for about a year trying to figure out where I could get plugged in, and really felt called to start my own organization. And our focus for the past couple of years has been prevention and awareness. Our mantra is, you know, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. And we have recently, as you discovered, branched out to outreach, and we've got even bigger dreams beyond that, because like you said, it is such a big problem.
And I wasn't aware of how big a problem it is. And what we found was on that tour, we went to neighborhoods that were less fortunate. We went to a neighborhood that had $3 to $5 million houses, and there were a couple of trap houses there. And to be honest, I didn't know what a trap house was. Can you explain to people what a trap house is?
Sure. That's not in everybody's vernacular. A trap house is essentially a house where illegal activity is taking place. So generally the homes that we toured and saw, there are women, children, and drugs being sold in and out of them. You could probably include weapons in a lot of those as well. So there's just illegal activity happening in these places. And like you said, it could be your next door neighbor. It's not necessarily all low income housing. It spans every city across every state in our nation.
And as we toured, we went to a lot of less fortunate areas. And I think that's where most people believe it's all taking place, and does take place there. And the life that these people get trapped into is terrible. And I want to talk about that. But again, it really struck me that here we are with $3 to $5 million houses, the neighborhood right next to that, really nice homes alone. It had trap houses where they were selling people out of and selling drugs and guns. And it was shocking. And it left an impression on me really for a week. I couldn't stop thinking about it. And here we are now, weeks later, and I'm still thinking about it. You know, because these are people's kids that start out there. We learned about grooming. We went by one specific house where this guy puts out ads on Craigslist to teach kids, boys specifically, because I think boys are left out of this. We always think of little girls and we think of women. But in this specific case was a guy that was putting ads on Craigslist and to teach them how to be a DJ or voice lessons. So the parents drop these boys off, spend $60, give the guy $60 to do the voice lessons, and then he starts the grooming process. That's legitimate, isn't it, Sarah?
Yes. And I'm so glad that you brought that up. I think it's really important that we talk about what grooming is. I was just having a conversation yesterday with a woman who said, I don't even know that term. And so the simple way to explain grooming is when a bad adult is taking their time to earn the trust of either another adult or a child for the purpose of exploiting them. So they are maybe befriending them. It could be a boyfriend-girlfriend relationship. They are taking the time to learn where their weaknesses are, and then they will make it seem like they're filling those needs, and then they will flip the script and start to exploit those needs. And at that point, the mental abuse has already begun, the psychological abuse, a lot of times physical and sexual abuse have also occurred. And at that point, escape is almost impossible.
Yeah, and they go down that path, and that path becomes that voice teacher becomes the pimp and starts starts selling these young boys, in this case, publicly online, maybe on Craigslist or some other place. I also learned another term that I'd never heard, and that was a rub map. And for those of you listening, I'm going to try. Well, actually, Sarah, you try because you know more about it than I do.
I think we're all learning together, but basically a list of the what we call the IMPs, the illicit massage parlors in the area. The places that, now, are there places giving legitimate massages? Of course there are. There are places that are keeping women employed there against their will. They have taken their identifications. Generally, they are from other countries, and they are not allowed to leave, and they're being forced to perform sex acts much beyond the scope of what an actual massage is. And one way that you could keep an eye out if you're in the community is if you see a massage parlor that's open until midnight, this is a red flag. I love a massage, but I have never needed a massage at midnight. And if you see all the windows are blacked out, those are a pretty good sign that something illegal is happening behind those doors.
And a rub map, just to go back to that, is an application that you can download on your phone, or it's a website. And what it does is it shows those massage parlors all over the country. You can click on your state, then click on your zip code, and it will show those massage parlors that are doing more than giving massages. And something else I learned was that if it was a pink pony, that meant that there were little girls at that massage parlor. So this is reality, isn't it, Sarah?
Absolutely. This is not an ethereal concept. This is not, primarily we focus on what's happening stateside. So this is not something that when we're talking about, it's not happening in the Philippines. It's not happening in India. This is happening here in the United States, where everybody is supposed to be free. And we have, it's not a conceptual idea. It's also, I think, very important to say this is not a political issue. No. This is a human rights issue that's really affecting all of our cities. And like you found out just a few weeks ago, it is right under our noses. And if we don't know what to look for, then we don't know how to help.
Yeah, I found out that one of these people that is involved in this lives less than a mile from me, one of those houses.
Wow.
And so it was a shocking tour. It really was. And when you get back to the trapped part of this lifestyle, we were talking about the guy on Craigslist giving the voice lessons. They get them into drugs, and then these people get addicted to drugs. So then they become dependent on the groomer, or then becomes the pimp, and they can't get out of the lifestyle, can they? Because I heard stories of, even the cell phones that they possess are not owned by them. So the only way to get outside of their world is to give up their cell phone. And you guys actually try to outreach to take people out of these positions. That's not easy, though, is it?
No, not at all. And you hit the nail on the head. It is not only a drug dependence. It is generally they've racked up a criminal record, mostly due to no fault of their own. If a pimp is controlling what they do, maybe petty theft charges or drug charges. Additionally, there is a huge psychological abuse that's taking place. That if let's just use a girl, for example, that's being trafficked, her family has been threatened. So she's not just at risk. If she leaves and they catch her, they might beat her beyond recognition and then drag her back. But her sister has been threatened. Her little brother has been threatened that they're going to be drug into this if she leaves, and that her mom and dad are going to be killed, and that the pictures that she's taken are going to be shared all over school or maybe all over her church, that she's going to be publicly humiliated. And there is no way out. You are completely isolated. And so when people say, well, why don't they just leave?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Believe me, if they could, they would.
Yeah. And it really is trapped. And as I heard, trap houses, I'm that's what I thought. I thought, well, these people are trapped in a lifestyle. We went by one particular road that had, I think it was two, it was at least two, maybe three houses in a row. And they said that they move girls from one house to the other house and to the other house. And after the tour, I actually went and looked up those houses online at Google Maps. And you could literally see two guys standing out front of those houses keeping guard. Something else I learned on that tour was that these homes and these trap houses, they are surveilling you, that they have video cameras up in the trees. They have video cameras all over it. So the process of trying to go and rescue these women, men, boys, girls is difficult because you're putting yourself in danger.
Oh, it's almost impossible. And that's absolutely accurate. I had a personal situation where we went to a massage parlor one time, and before we got out of the car, they met us at the door. We didn't even see, to this day, I don't know where the cameras were. They saw us as we pulled into the parking lot. They knew that we clearly were not customers, met us at the door and refused us to come in. So they're, and this is a, as you said at the beginning, this is a multi-billion dollar industry. These people are smart. These are business people. They know what they're doing. They're not trying to get caught and they're trying to make money. They care about money over everything else. So that they're protecting, their product, which is people.
Mm-hmm. And it's real. And that's what I want people to understand is it's real, because I think sometimes the human trafficking words together and people just, it just flies right over their head. How do you describe human trafficking?
So I describe it as exploitation for profit. So when we talk about words like sexual abuse, molestation, rape, that is an exploitation. That is, that's an abuse. That's a stealing of someone's innocence. When we talk about human trafficking, it is that exploitation over and over and over again that someone is choosing to pay for and someone else is benefiting from. And when we talk about, it is a hard concept to grasp. Two things I want to say. When we say it's a $30 billion industry, what does that mean to people? That's such a hard number to grasp. Mm-hmm. Let me put it in a bite-size nugget for you. The average sex act is about $30.
Wow.
How many sex acts add up to $30 billion or $150 billion or whatever the actual number is? It's staggering. That's what we need to know. And when people say, you know, this is happening in developing countries, it's not happening here. Let me introduce you to the two little girls that are sisters that were being trafficked by a family member. And they went to school every single day. And at night they were being trafficked out of their own house. Let me introduce you to the girl that I work very closely with who was abused by a family member 20 years ago. Then pictures were taken and those are still circulating on the internet today. So there is no justice there while this man walks around free. This happens every single day. I could go on and tell you for hours, unfortunately, stories of real people that it's happening to here. And it's not, and none of us are immune to this happening. So that doesn't mean that we should, you know, lock our kids up and never let them go outside and never let them use the internet, but we have to be aware of it.
Yeah. And it's so pervasive. That's what I learned in that tour. It was just everywhere, and from the massage parlors to the homes to the street corners. And these people get trapped in the lifestyle, and there's no way to get out of it. And it can ruin their lives. But there are people like you. This is Sarah LaChance. Her organization is StopTheMovement.org. Sarah, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you so much for your time.
That is a real problem in America, and we have so many of them. And what a week it was for news here on AmericaOutloud.news. Thank you so much for being here and listening to this program. I really do appreciate you for finding us, whether it's here on America Out Loud Talk Radio or if you found us on a podcast. Thank you so much for doing that. Have yourself a great weekend. And coming up on the weekend, Sunday morning at 10, Malcolm has Viewpoint. This Sunday, coming up next for you, it is Unleash the Political News Hour. My name is Booker Scott, and you were told 2,000 years ago that you are the salt of the earth. And salt without flavor, it has no value. So keep being salty. Have a great weekend.
There is only one truth. You've been listening to The Truth Be Told with Booker Scott on America Out Loud.